Maybe you can start by introducing yourself so that people get to know you, who you represent, the organization, and the people behind you.
Oh, thank you. My name is Nzira Jericho. I am the president of the Zimbabwe Diaspora Investment Council, an organization based here in Canada and also registered in Zimbabwe. I have four board members. Our CEO is Dr. Max Ovira. My vice president is Mr. Fungai Arnold Mgajga. Our executive director for international affairs is Joseph Mugodo. Thank you.
When was ZDIC formed, or when was it registered in Canada?
The ZDIC has been running for years now. It was registered in Canada in 2017 and also in Zimbabwe in 2018.
Okay, so you're also registered in Zimbabwe?
Yes.
All right. So from my research, you mentioned about identifying, engaging, and facilitating investors. That is to Zimbabwe. Could you walk me through a typical journey of how you would identify a potential investor to the successful channeling of their capital into the Zimbabwean project? What are your key criteria for selecting opportunities or partners to bring to Zimbabwe?
So the process of identifying investors is a long process, and it requires what we call calculated audacity. The first stage is to identify the investor through networks, events, or referrals. That's number one. The second part is to assess their project viability, the alignment with the Zimbabwe's priorities, and investor intent. So those are key items when we're dealing with investors. Another thing we do, we facilitate connections with local partners, government agencies, and stakeholders. We support with due diligence, approvals, and structuring investments. We track progress. When that investment is in place, we promise to track progress, ensure compliance, and foster post-investment relationships.
Yes.
So the key criteria is project feasibility, impact on local economy, and investor commitment.
Okay, you mentioned about government agencies. Would you be privy to open up on which government agencies do you work with? Are these government agencies from Zimbabwe or from Canada?
We work for agencies for the investors, work with agencies in Zimbabwe like ZIDA, but we also work with agencies here. Because when you facilitate, when you talk to investors, there's a lot of protocols that can be involved. And we, in Canada here, there is one guy, his name is, I can't mention his name right now, but he's part of the government that we've been working with to facilitate our better businesses and to showcase the business opportunities in Zimbabwe so that they could invest in the areas of interest.
Okay. Your goal is to increase FDI to boost capital utilization, output, and employment. How does the ZDIC define and track its success? Are there specific metrics or case studies that demonstrate the tangible economic impact or of a facilitated investment?
Oh yes, we have what we call a success matrix.
Okay.
And so what it does, we looks at the jobs created.
All
If
right.
an investment comes in, the key criteria, jobs created, the capital mobilized, the projects implemented, and the capacity utilization. So we track via regular reporting, site visits, and stakeholder feedback. I can give you a case study of a mining project in Zimbabwe. One of our directors was involved in it, and the project was very successful. And in terms of job creation alone, there were over 500 employees, local Zimbabweans who live in the area, who were employed, actually currently employed at this project. In addition to that, we encourage our investors to give back to the community. And this investor, actually what they did, they started a soccer team representing the project. And this team is playing in the, I think it's second division, if I'm right. So these are things that we encourage our investors, diasporans, when they go back, you give back to the community through community projects and engagement.
Okay, that will bring me to another question, like how does the community benefit in terms of partnership or ownership of the project? Is there a percentage of whereby the investor comes with a certain percentage of ownership and the local people or local community give a certain percentage of ownership? Or is it 100% owned by the investor?
No. It's there are different stages and different criteria of investors. But of course, we have to look at the laws in Zimbabwe of investment. But typically right now, the locals, normally they have the land. If it's an agricultural project or a mining project, the locals, they have the mining claims, but they don't have the capital. So the investor comes in with the capital, and the locals chip in with the land, with the mine, with the farm, and it's a collaboration. They negotiate the shareholding. It's between the farmer, the local farmer, and the investor, or between the local miner and the investor. And in most cases, some of these arrangements are registered. If it's in mining, if you make an arrangement, it's registered with the Ministry of Mines. And there's a split. I think it could be 70-30, 60-40, 50-50, depending on the agreement.
Okay, so sometimes you will find an investor, then you will link with the relevant ministry to do the job for you, then they will finalize the deals.
Yes. So what happens when we meet investors here,
yes,
they want to know the process. Okay. Our job is to simplify the whole process for the investors. And we work with government agencies. We work with different, we have access to ministries. And something I didn't mention also is that the ZDIC, when we formed this organization, we made a trip to Zimbabwe following the new dispensation. When the new president was elected, we met with the Ministry of International Trade. At the time, it was retired general, the late SB Moyo. So the ZDIC signed a memorandum of understanding with the government of Zimbabwe, authorizing us to carry out this work on their behalf. So when an investor is coming through us, we have direct offices we just walk into, so that the process for them is very simplified.
All right. Given the broad goal of impacting all various subsectors, where is the ZDIC found the most receptive interest from the diaspora? Like, are you prioritizing high potential sectors like agriculture, technology, renewable energy to focus your facilitation efforts?
Oh, yes, 100%. I think from our discussions with the diaspora people, they've shown strong interest in agriculture and tech. We have to bring the technology back into the country. So we are focusing on these high potential sectors to drive impactful investments. We prioritize sectors like agriculture, manufacturing, mining, equipment rentals, road construction, whatever they have an interest in. There's another project that we supported, the ethanol plant in the Lowveld. There's a company that wanted to build this. It's a big, big plant. Okay. And recently, when I was doing a follow-up, they have been approved by the government, that project. And I think by 2026, that project will take off. That's a massive. And there's another one also in the Lupane for gas. You know, if you go to Zimbabwe, there's a lot of gas, natural gas in Zimbabwe. I know people in Canada here, we know how natural gas is very important in warming our homes. In Zimbabwe, there is a huge reservoir of natural gas. So So we are dealing with another company here that is in interest in that area as well.
Okay. There have been several organizations that have come. Some have been, they've just faded. Maybe they were money-making projects. So what do you believe is a unique value proposition or strategic advantage that makes you the most effective facilitator for Zimbabwe?
For us, our local expertise.
Yes. What do you mean by that?
And diaspora connections. Yes. Set us apart. We have local connections back in Zimbabwe. Yes. And we have diaspora connections here within North America and all over the world. We prioritize projects that drive tangible economic impact. We do our assessment. We look at the priorities that the government of Zimbabwe has and the areas they need development. And because we've been running for years, that sets us apart. We have connections here in North America. We have also started doing other projects here in North America through the ZDIC. We have contracts that we signed in the past with Her Majesty, the Queen of England. You know, when you get into a contract here with the Governor General, it's signed in England by Her Majesty, the Queen at the time. Now it's the King, King Charles, everything we do here. So those networks, those connections will report back to those people who fund some of our projects this end. So we are on solid ground. So, and you know, this, the ZDIC, we were the first to come up with this idea to say we are great ambassadors for our country. Let's go back and see what we can do to help. When the president was calling Zimbabwe, is open for business. Uh-huh. And Minister Moyo used to say, you in the diaspora, you are ambassadors. You go out there and speak about the opportunities that we have in Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is open for business. And because of that, that's what we tell our investors. And some of them, they want access to meet the ministers, and we help with that.
Okay. We can say from 2017, everything has been good, smooth flow. What has been the single most significant barrier to mobilizing FDI into Zimbabwe, and how is the ZDIC's approach specifically designed to overcome it?
Of course, there are barriers. There are barriers,
yes,
that we faced. But the biggest one is just the perceived risk and bureaucracy.
Okay, yes.
You know, there's this perceived risk and the fear of bureaucracy to investors. But our approach is building trust, streamlining processes, and showcasing success stories. We showcase success stories of investors who have gone to Zimbabwe and have been successful. Zimbabwe is ripe for FDI. That is why right now, despite the challenges that existed in terms of sanctions, but I think some of these things have already been settled.
Yes.
Yeah, but we faced those. One biggest thing that we faced was during the COVID.
Yes.
Yeah, when we went to Zimbabwe, when we came back, we organized a big conference. Okay. Where we're inviting ministers from different departments to come.
Ministers in Canada?
From Zimbabwe.
Okay.
To come and meet all the businesses in Alberta. Okay. And this was facilitated by one minister here. His name is Shane Jaffa. We're working with him. So this was at an advanced stage, and then COVID hit. So when COVID hit, nobody could travel.
Yeah.
So that derailed the progress that we were seeing. But also, during COVID, it helped us to start doing other things here in Canada. We have been involved in several projects to help seniors cope during COVID. We partnered with the government of Canada through grants. And if you remember, we were distributing gift cards, grocery cards.
Okay.
for seniors over 55 to go to the superstores, to the grocery stores, to buy groceries, to just help themselves. Because during COVID, you know what was happening. People didn't have jobs and they needed help. So we started doing those projects here. So it helped us to grow and have a dynamic perspective. So we are working here. We are also doing something back home in Zimbabwe, like we should do. As the president of the country, says, the country is built by its original inhabitants. So we are pushing the diaspora, us, to go and invest. I know we also have other investors, but the key is also the original people from that country.
Okay. I've been based in Dubai for quite some time, and most potential investors always talk about the 30% when it comes to investing in Zimbabwe. So how do you make sure in your organization you try by all means to keep the 30% approach to keep corruption within your organization in terms of bringing investors to the Zimbabwean economy?
No country is perfect. No country is perfect. If you come here to North America, there's always challenges in terms of accusations of corruption and so forth.
Yes.
So that should not stop investors. We have a system whereby we give them direct access. You know, at one point there was a one-stop shop. I think you've heard about it. And now there is Zeda. If you're an investor, you go straight to Zeda. And everything is right there. You don't need to a third party to take you to a different location and now say, oh, you know what, for me to do this, I also want to be part of this. We understand those challenges, but we advise our investors that they don't have to go that route, and access is free. Access to information is free. We provide it to them and we direct them to the right offices for processing whatever they need to process. And I'm sure the business side of the government is doing a lot of good things in that area, making it easy for investors to move around and do their business.
All right. 2026 is around the corner. What plans do you have for this coming year as an organization?
2026 is going to be great for us. We are looking forward to bigger things, expand sector focus, enhance investor support, and strengthen our partnerships. So 2026, we are going to deepen our partnerships to drive more impactful investments. So when I talk about impact,
yes,
I am referring to investments that affect the economy and the people in terms of improving life standards. If it's a big investment comes in, we're not talking of investment whereby somebody from China buys some products, dump them into Zimbabwe and sell to the people.
Yeah.
We are not talking of that.
Right.
We are talking of investments that can impact the whole community. If it's a mining project, you know, 500 villagers will get employment. When you have 500 workers working at a mine, now guess what? There is need for other vendors who bring vegetables. I can give this particular project whereby villagers, vegetable growers, tomatoes, because you have to feed these employees.
Yes, yes.
So now the person with the garden over there is a market. Now they are bringing vegetables. Now they are bringing grain. A goat farmer next door now is selling his goats to this one particular project. Road construction to facilitate movement within that mine. So when you look at it, if you look at the whole project, the impact is huge. Why? Because now everyone is now involved. Not just the miners.
Yeah.
Those who are providing transport. Those with the trucks. You know, those tipper trucks.
Yes.
Now they're also hired to move the gold ore to where it's supposed to go.
But how do you ensure balance in terms of employment? Because we have seen the Chinese investors, they just come. Most of their people in management are from China, and our local people in Zimbabwe are laborers. So, and most of them, they are usually abused, as we have seen on TV or on social media. So how do you balance in terms of the employment balance, and also how workers are treated? Do you have like a specific documentation that governs these investors when they come to Zimbabwe? Or is the job for the ministry?
What we do the things that we have control over. Mainly when I meet with investors here, we look at their project, the areas they want to invest in, the success metric, the impact that it will give to the local communities. Of course, every worker is to be treated equally. This is a universal law. Yeah, no employer has to abuse employees. But in any country, sometimes those abuses can happen. Even here in North America, we know that there are certain companies that do not follow the rules and regulations and procedures of the workplace, the code of ethics.
Yeah.
But there are systems in place or areas to go. I know even in Zimbabwe, there is the labor board where somebody is treated unjustly, they report the case, and the responsible authorities looks into the matter. So we don't have control over everything, but we haven't really dealt with investors from China. But if there is something we can do, we use our lines of communication with the responsible authorities. If we hear something, we will report it. And I believe that the government is capable to protect its citizens from these abusive investors. And I'm sure some have been prosecuted, if you follow the news. And we don't allow investors to come and abuse the locals. Investment is meant to help the local economy, the local people, bring goods that they need. And once something is happening there, the whole community benefits anyway. Now, these investors, we encourage them to be involved in the community. Like I said, one of our partners had a soccer team. And guess what? Players are now participating. Now they are coaches. And now the community is impacted by that. So abuses, we say the labor board is there, and any complaint is sent through the proper channels.
What message do you have for Zimbabweans in the diaspora and for potential investors who are interested in investing in Zimbabwe?
Zimbabwe is open for business. Zimbabwe is open for business. We hear this from the president himself. That's the mantra. When you see the head of state saying this over and over again, you have to believe him. You understand? Zimbabwe is open for anyone. I've seen people go back to Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe is open for business. Go there, do something in your home area, put an industry, a manufacturing plant, a tomato processing plant, a maize processing plant. There's a lot of things that the diasporans can do, especially those with the Zimbabwean origin. And also, there's a lot of Zimbabweans who were born here from Zimbabwean parents.
Yes.
When I came here, it was just me. But now I have children.
Yes.
A lot of people now, we have people in different sectors. And we want to, 2026, we'll be putting up a register of skilled Zimbabweans are here in the diaspora, and what we can do for skills transfer. We want some to go back to Zimbabwe. We want to educate them that Zimbabwe is a beautiful country. We want to brand it. We're going to brand Zimbabwe as a destination for investment. And I'm sure you've read things in Forbes magazine that says Zimbabwe for 2026 is the number one destination for tourism. So people are doing things in Zimbabwe. And we want the Zimbabwean people themselves in the diaspora not to be left behind. If you look at other countries like India, you see how what they do back in their country.
Yes.
They come together, they do projects back home. They do. I like Zimbabweans too for the remittances. Those, they help the country a lot. So Zimbabweans are good people, very smart, very successful. We have, we did our awards last year in February, the business awards, the networking conference. We were recognizing successful Zimbabweans. We are doing bigger things. We are reviving cities. You know, we have a city here that was collapsing, but we had a Zimbabwean. We started developing land. A land developer, and he started building in that city things that attracts people back.
Okay.
People traveling from Edmonton to Fort McMurray, they see a Tim Hortons, they want to swing by the city.
Yep.
Now you see what happens, but a Zimbabwean is doing that. So Zimbabweans can do even bigger things back home.
Right.
That's my message for 2026. If you're a Zimbabwean, you're listening to this interview, make a plan, do something in your province, in your district. Start a manufacturing plant, build some business that impact the locals. That's the plan that we advocate for.
All right. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.